The good news is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to our program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista with my co-host, Nathan Jones, with Lamb Lion Ministry. We thank you for being part of today's program, as we have a great program lined up for you today. And if you have joined us today, get ready, because we are going to have a great program as we venture out into the book of Isaiah. So we hope that you can follow along with us, those of you that are following us on social media, and share this program with your friends and family. But before we do so, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that we are going to now approach a whole new prophetic book, Isaiah, Lord, a very daunting book. But Lord, you have so much to reveal about yourself to us in it and about the future. I pray you bless all of us who are tuned in as we go through the study, that it may glorify you and help edify the saints and lead people to know you as Savior. Your precious and wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into our Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, we are diving into the prophetic book of Isaiah. So hopefully you can join us and follow along in your Bibles. But before we do so, I'm going to welcome my co-host of the program, Nathan Jones. Nathan, it's so great to be back on the mic with you.
Yes, it is. We took a week or two off between our Millennial Kingdom series to start this, but hey, I think you need a break before you start tackling a book that's 66 chapters long. I mean, ooh-wee. That's as many books as the Bible, right? There's 66 books in the Bible and 66 chapters in Isaiah.
You know, Nathan, and that's right. And they actually, you know, some people even reference the book of Isaiah to like a mini Bible, if you will, because of all the chapter, but also all the wonderful content in it. So I'm excited.
I am too. I'm glad we have tackled so many books over the years. I mean, we just finished Ezekiel. We've covered Zechariah, most of the minor prophets, New Testament books, the book of Revelation. We even ended up writing a book about the book of Revelation called The Mighty Angels of Revelation. So yeah, I love this verse-by-verse approach that you Calvary pastors so favor, and it really makes the Bible come alive.
Oh, Nathan, it's just wonderful to be able to have a guide as we go through. And then also for those that follow us and that are regulars on our program, it takes the guesswork out of it for them. They know every week where we're going, what we're going to be approaching. And I think this is a great way and a fun way to study Bible prophecy and the Word of God. So we love the verse-by-verse approach to it, and we think it definitely helps people grow. Nathan, speaking of growing, maybe there's someone who's new to our program and they don't know about our resources or what we do. Might you be able to share that with them so they can also be more informed?
Absolutely. Well, you've tuned in to The Truth Will Set You Free. It's the podcast outreach of Lamb and Lion Ministries. We're a Bible prophecy teaching ministry. Our mission is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. Vic and me, Dr. Reagan, Tim Moore, Dave Bowen, we are all so excited about the Lord's soon return. So we are proclaiming it as many people as we can, as quickly as we can before Jesus comes. So I'm hoping, Vic, that the Lord Jesus comes back and raptures his church up to heaven even before we're done Isaiah.
Nathan, I am right there with you. Maybe we'll just get to chapter one and be raptured. That'll be great.
Well, you know, the way things are going in Israel, you got to wonder.
I know, Nathan. So, you know, I know there's always a lot going on around the world. Of course, you know, you and I, we keep our eyes and our focus on Israel, as we know that that's what the Bible speaks about. Most of what's going to be going on Bible prophecy wise is going to surround God's people. But you're absolutely right, Nathan. There's a lot going on, a lot for people to keep in prayer. God is not through with Israel. He still has a great plan for them. And I think the best is yet to come, right, Nate?
Absolutely. God has got so many promises planned for all his saints, but also for a remnant of the Jewish people to come to salvation and be a priestly people in his millennial kingdom. And the kingdom of Christ is actually one of the main topics we'll find in the book of Isaiah, as we see Isaiah address a nation that's in rebellion against God. And so God's warning them to, if they don't repent, that there will be judgment. Well, we know through history there was two exiles, but there would always be a remnant that the Lord would preserve for him, and they would receive his blessings. And we'll see that theme all throughout the book of Isaiah.
Oh, Nathan, that is fantastic. And yeah, and we want to encourage anyone that's part of this program. We want to invite you to get your Bibles. As we're primarily just going to be doing more of an intro as we look at the book of Isaiah today. But Nathan, if I may read a little bit here regarding the book of Isaiah that I thought was kind of interesting. And it got me thinking when you mentioned that there's 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. And I was checking this out, and I love this because it says regarding that some people actually look at this as a miniature Bible. And the reason is that the first 39 chapters, like the 39 books of the Old Testament, are filled with judgment upon immoral and idolatrous men. And then I love this because it goes on to say here that Judah had sinned, and the surrounding nation has sinned, and the whole earth has sinned, and judgment must come, for God cannot allow such blatant sin to go unpunished forever. And then it goes on, but then it goes on to say, but the final 27 chapters, like the 27 books of the New Testament, declare a message of hope. And I love that the Messiah is coming as a savior, and the sovereign to bear the cross and to wear a crown. And again, Isaiah's prophecy, his ministry, this was fascinating, spanning the reign of four kings of Judah and cover at least 40 years. And Nathan, another thing that was interesting was that his name, Isaiah, Yahweh, is salvation. And the name is an excellent summary of the content of the book. And the Latin name for Isaiah is Isaías. Or Isaiah, and I can relate to that because I speak Spanish, and we always say el libro de Isaías or the book of Isaiah, and I really honestly didn't connect that with the Latin. So it's really fascinating, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense since Latin is the foundation of most of the European languages. Interesting.
So I think, Nathan, these are just a lot of wonderful things that we'll be able to uncover as we look at the book of Isaiah. But it also reminds me, Nate, remember you and I when we did the whole series on Lamentations?
Yeah, that's been a while. Well, we did, okay.
Yeah, and then we also spoke about the prophet Jeremiah and the prophet Isaiah. So, but we've never gone through the entire book of Isaiah. So I think it's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, I guess you think about it, we're going backwards here because we're talking about a section of the Bible that's the major prophets, and that's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, and they're called major because the length of their books are so long. The book of Lamentations falls into that. That was also written by Jeremiah, but we went backwards, right? We started with Daniel, and then we went back to Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and now Isaiah, and Isaiah is actually the first of the major prophets. And he's farther back in time. So you've got, of course, Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. They're around the fall of Jerusalem, about 600 BC. But we're 100 years earlier, Isaiah. Isaiah was a contemporary of Micah, you know, God's lawyer. He was a prophet as well. And both called Israel, and Jerusalem, especially into repentance. And so we are now going to cover a time period. You're right. It does cover 40 years. Isaiah's ministry covered four different kings: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And both Uzziah Hezekiah was the good king. Ahaz was a horrific king. Jotham was a military general, and Uzziah ruled for a little while. So each of these kings was very different, and each had their sin issues, and we'll encounter them as we go through the book of Isaiah.
Oh, I love that. And Nathan, that's why I'm encouraged by, what the message will be relating to the Jewish people, but also so many prophecies that we're going to see are even starting to be revealed today. And this was, again, all the way back in the time of Isaiah, just some amazing, amazing things. So, Nate, I wanted to see if maybe as we open up, if you would read for us verses 1 and 2, and I'll take 3 and 4, just in case someone doesn't have a Bible, so they can follow along with us.
Sure. Beginning verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz. which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me.
And verse 3 says, the ox knows his owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Verse 4, alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. So Nathan, we see like a bull right out of the cage. Isaiah doesn't play around. He goes right into the message.
He does. And he's dealing with some very challenging kings. I did find the ages that these guys ruled. Uzziah was 790 to 739. Jotham, 750 to 732. Ahaz, 735 to 715. And then Hezekiah, 715 to 686. And it was believed that Isaiah was martyred by King Manasseh, who was Hezekiah's son, a horrifically evil king. Justin Martyr, a early church father, wrote that Isaiah was sawed in two by Manasseh. So clearly Isaiah's message calling these kings, these people, to come back to the Lord and repent was not met well by some of these kings. I know Ahaz particularly was a horrifically evil king, but Manasseh was the worst of them.
Nathan, and as we also completed the book of Ezekiel, we noted there that some of the messages came across pretty heavy. But here it clearly tells us the reason why. Verse 2 is a calling, and it says, "Oh, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken." So we find the Lord is speaking. Isaiah is addressing this and writing these things down. And it's a message that still applies today, right, Nathan? Because we notice the nation of Israel, not all of them today have turned to the Lord. Not all of them today accept the Messiah. Many of them are still in some type of rebellion towards the reality of God's message for them.
Yeah, the prophet's messages, I would say, Vic, are just as relevant today as they were if we go back 2,700 years ago to Isaiah's time. I mean, we've got a Lord who loves us, who created us, who just blesses those who love him. And yet we saw the people of Israel continually turn against the Lord and chase after idols, and which idols are nothing more than just representation of demons. So demon worship, I mean, that's how horrible it is to run after their own lusts and immorality. And that describes our society today, especially as occultism gets deeper and deeper. We see more demonic worship in our society, but definitely a society that's obsessed with selfies and self and promotion of self and the culture of victimhood. It's all there. It's not like it's something new. What did Solomon say in Ecclesiastes? There's nothing new under the sun. And that's the case. So we can read, we can be like, oh man, Isaiah is already talking about how God is upset with the people. Why do I want to go through 66 chapters of that? It's because it's a commentary, not on just the society of Israel 2,700 years ago, but it's really a commentary on our society today.
And Nathan, and that's a very good point. You and I have both traveled to Israel, and you and I were both very surprised to see how liberal the people were. Sometimes you think of, you see the different types of Jews, and they have their different type of clothing, and we think that they're all just religious people. But no, the society there is very, very worldly in a sense. And I was very surprised, even with their celebrations, the gay parades and all these things. I was like, what? Is this Israel? Are these the chosen people of God? But Nathan, you're absolutely right. Even today, we see so many that are blinded to the truth.
You're absolutely right, Vic. If Isaiah showed up today in modern day Israel, he would make the same accusations that he's making to ancient Israel. You're right, brother. I was reading that 75% of the Jewish people in Israel are secular humanists. You know, they tend to be leftists from the countries they come to in the liberal areas. So they value leftist values, if you can call them values. They're really anti-values. And then you also have got the Orthodox, which make up quite a lot of the remaining percent, but only about 20,000 Messianic Jews live in Israel, very, very tiny amount believe in Yeshua as Messiah. So it's a very pagan land. You can go into quite even the number of the churches there, like the, just you name it. It's filled with pagan activity, of worshiping, kissing stones, of worshiping little idols of saints and putting incense to them. You can go up to the cross in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, you know, and people are bowing to it. It's just, my goodness, it's a pagan society. Even the Christians, I put air quotes around that, in Israel, there's very few that are devout and evangelical.
Nathan, right, and this is why we hope for anyone that is tuned in and listening, I think you made a good point, Nathan. This is not just about bringing about, here we go again with bad news, but it's a reality that still hasn't changed, which is why there's still certain prophecies that will be fulfilled against Israel. There will be a cleansing, if you will, a purifying, and it's going to come at a great price, according to the book of Zechariah, where millions of Jews will lose their lives. But we notice again, the plan behind all this is that God wants them to turn to him, to repent to him. Because here, as we read in verse 3, it says, the ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider. And Nate, I think our message today is for people to consider, right? Because if people at least are willing to stop and consider what we're saying, there will be an opportunity of hope there for them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is what God's offering. He's not offering condemnation. What he's saying is your sins, your rebellion, your forgetting me. You know, you could go to the temple, you can listen to the priests. You know, they'll teach you the law, and you'll understand the difference between good and evil. When you reject all that, you bring condemnation onto yourself. I mean, obviously, God is behind certain judgments, but what happens is when we get rid of the perfect moral law of God and replace it with folly, we're going to make really stupid decisions. There's a reference in the Bible that when a world forgets God or a nation forgets God, then the nation is led by children. And it doesn't mean literal children, obviously, but what it means is that a society, its leaders act like children. I mean, as we're recording this, we're seeing the protests across Columbia University and other colleges, Harvard and others, as they scream and yell and rant death to the Jews. And the leaders are just don't know what to do about it, which, you know, should be obvious. You kick them out of your school. But, you know, we're seeing that. We're seeing our government make dumb decisions based on emotionalism and immaturity. The West is run by giant children who aren't mature enough to be fiscally responsible. And so that's what the Lord is saying here, saying, hey, your sins are destroying you. One of the minor prophets says, my people, how's that go? My people are dying, basically, because of their sins. Man, that's a good verse. I need to look that up so I get that right. But basically, your sins are killing you. So God isn't looking to just dole out retribution and judgment. He's looking to restore the right relationship, which will then protect and give bounty to the people.
You know, Nathan, and one of the things that I always notice is how God is so gracious. I mean, we are just diving in to the book of Isaiah, but we see the instructions that are given here is for people to consider. And it's almost like we need a checkup. We all as believers need to constantly check our spiritual walk with God, because we cannot point the finger at just the Jewish people. I mean, the reality is even the Church of Jesus Christ, Nate, you're absolutely right. We have a lot of areas where we need to consider our walk. I'm reading this wonderful book by Billy Graham called Storm Warning. And it's basically a rewritten version of Hoofbeats, which is based on the book of the Revelation. And Billy Graham there also is addressing the problem in the church, where he was referring to the churches in the book of Revelation, much as what we're seeing today, and how the churches today, they adapt to the community rather than the communities adapting to the church. And he goes on to say that today people are going to start a church and they do a survey of that community to see what the community wants. And they build churches based on what the community wants. rather than what does the Bible say that community needs? And Nathan, that's where a lot of the problems come in, is when we start to stray away from the biblical mandate and we start to sort of like do our own thing.
Yeah, it's very strange, especially with this whole seeker-sensitive movement. Obviously, we want our churches need to be sensitive to seekers, but at the same time, we don't conform to the world. We show the world God's perfect moral law, his age of grace, his great love. We teach them about his sacrifice. Our great commission is to share the good news of Jesus Christ to all the ages. But instead, you know, they turn it into social clubs or start campaigning for leftist values, or it has nothing to do with the church anymore. They've lost their focus. And we see that even though Isaiah is calling out the southern kingdom of Judah with its capital in Jerusalem, at the time of Isaiah's life, the northern kingdom, the other 10 tribes with its capital in Samaria, were carted off by Sennacherib and the Assyrians into exile. So they had a living example of what happens when we turn against God's moral law and make a law unto ourselves. God's hand of protection is no longer around them, and they go into exile. And brother, I think in the United States especially, who's been so blessed because of our Judeo-Christian values and our adherence to biblical law for so many years, that we're at the point where we've so completely abandoned God in our society that it'd be the ultimate hubris to think that our nation can continue with all this blessing and all this power and be almost invincible without God providing that invincibility.
Absolutely, Nathan. Good point. Again, for those of you that just tuned in, you tuned into our Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, we are looking at the book of Isaiah, an introductory overview as we speak about this mighty prophet Isaiah. So, Nathan, I think that as a nation, as a people, we all need a spiritual checkup from the head down. As a matter of fact, verses 5 and 6 of the book of Isaiah address something similar, dealing with spiritual health care, if you will. Would you be able to read those two verses for us, Nathan, there, verses 5 and 6, in case someone doesn't have a Bible?
Absolutely. And just so folks know, Vic and I are reading from the New King James Version. And so if you want to read whatever version, but we prefer the New King James, just easier to understand. So why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment.
Well, Nathan, I have a doctor's appointment in a few hours, and it seems like somebody else needs a checkup here, right?
Yeah, I had one yesterday. I know what you mean. Basically, they're saying is that Israel is so sin-sick, and they don't even realize it. You know, it's kind of like the Walking Dead. If you're a zombie or something, you don't realize you're dead yet. You need to die, and not that there's really zombies, but that's what it was becoming of the nation of Israel. And, you know, again, the beauty of the Lord, for hundreds of years, he sends Isaiah and Jeremiah. He sends other prophets to warn Israel, hey, you guys are the walking dead. You need to repent. Come back to me and I will take care of you. I will heal you and I will love you. But, you know, man, it's the human condition for 6,000 years to love our sin more than we love our Savior.
I know, Nathan, and that is a sad indictment, especially here when you consider the words. It's not just one portion of Israel or the people, but it says here the whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint, from the sole of the foot even to the head. Sometimes we read, why did God allow the slaughter of whole entire nations and communities in the Old Testament? Well, again, because they were all infected. And it's like a dog with rabies. Whoever they will bite or touch will also be infected. So God will sometimes allow these to be wiped out in a sense to start over. And that's what we're finding here, the problem with Israel.
Yeah, and that was the weakness with Israel back in the day when Gideon and his men were told to go in and kill all the Amalekites and the other ites that were in the land of Canaan because they were horrifically evil. I mean, it's like everyone was ISIS running around murdering and raping and slaughtering and idol worship. And the Lord had given actually 400 years time for those people to get their act together, and they couldn't. So it was God's judgment through the Jewish people. But the Jewish people caved. They kind of did a half-hearted job. They felt sorry for them, and they didn't kill him. And we're seeing that today as Israel was attacked viciously on October 7th of 2023 by Hamas. I mean, butchering and raping and murdering 1,200 of their people and kidnapping 300 others and torturing a lot of them to death. And so Israel goes into Gaza to destroy Hamas and free the Gazan people from Hamas control and free the world from Hamas terrorism. And what does the world do? They kind of feel sorry for the terrorists, and there's people in Israel who are starting to feel a little sorry for the terrorists and eventually let up. And if they let up, then the terrorism will, like a cancer, grow again. So it's one thing that's, I don't know about you, Vic, that you encounter, but I encounter more and more Christians who are seeing the war between Israel and Hamas and are feeling sorry for Hamas, forgetting that you have to utterly destroy evil. You can't be merciful to evil, because when you let evil show mercy, it flourishes again, and you've got the same problem. It never ends. And so we're seeing the Jewish people today do the exact same thing they did when Gideon was told to clean out the land over 3,000 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And Nathan, another thing is that people today, they're very ignorant to the reality of Hamas there, and also the radical Islam. Now, I believe that, again, there's good people in these countries, but at the root of it, we have to recognize the reality of what stems behind this. Satan himself wants to destroy God's people, and he will not stop. He will continue. And today, modern society doesn't seem to recognize the biblical roots of the reality. And that's why, Nathan, I'm so glad that you and I get to educate the public and the church and individuals who are tuned into this program so they can get a biblical perspective of the spiritual condition of what's going on around the world. So, Nate, I think that, you know, we all, what the world needs is the Lord, a spiritual checkup. People need to look at their lives and recognize, do I really know God? And where does God fit in my life? And that's why you and I, Nate, before we close every program, we give people an opportunity to consider, much like the prophet Isaiah here was saying to the people, consider your ways, consider your life. And maybe some people might need to reconsider their walk and give God an opportunity to come into their heart. So, Nate, maybe there's someone who's tuned into our program. Maybe they're fascinated by the book of Isaiah and they're drawn to this, but they don't have a relationship with the Lord. But maybe they might now be considering a relationship with him. Might you be able to share with them how they can start that relationship with the Lord from wherever they are, even right now?
Absolutely. So I'm using the Bible Knowledge Commentary. This section of Isaiah is by Professor John Martin. And he says, the purpose of Isaiah's primary purpose was to remind his readers of the special relationship they had with God as members of the nation of Israel, his special covenant community. And folks, I'd like to tell you that the Lord hasn't just given that to the Jews, he did in the past, but he opened it up to the Gentiles too. So now it's not just the Jewish people who receive salvation. I mean, of course, you could become a Jew back in the Old Testament, but the Lord says, hey, we all become Christians if we decide to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ and accept the work that he did on the cross, the only saving work. John 14:6 tells us that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by me. Only by placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ can we be saved. This is what God was calling the Jewish people to do in the Old Testament before the Messiah, to put faith in him. Today, God has revealed his son to us, and we put our faith in his son. And so you can do that today. From your heart, pray, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I've been living in rebellion against you, much like ancient Israel. And Lord, I want you to forgive me. Please, Lord, I love you, and I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. And the Bible promises that you will be forgiven. Jesus will wipe away the guilt of your sins, and you will inherit eternal life with him. You will have that restored relationship with God once more.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Nathan, for sharing that. Hey, and maybe that was you who just reconsidered and accepted Jesus to come into your life as your Lord and Savior. We would love to hear from you. We would love to rejoice with people that have just come to the Lord, and we want to celebrate with you. And in doing so, we would love to give you a Bible and a Bible study guide so that you can grow in your relationship with the Lord. You can get a hold of us at 305-992-9537, or you can email Nathan at webminister@lamblion.com. And we would love to hear from you. We love great stories of people's lives being transformed. And we also want to encourage you, find a good church that teaches the Word of God and teaches prophecy. Get baptized, get plugged in, and serve the Lord, because the Lord is coming back very, very soon. So Nathan, that's why you and I are so excited about this intro into the book of Isaiah.
Absolutely. It's a message that resonates today, a calling for repentance and a restoration of the right relationship we have with God.
Ooh, praise the Lord. And of course, our time has run out for this segment of the program. We want to thank you for being part of this first segment of the book of Isaiah. I'm Vic Batista and Nathan Jones saying goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have a wonderful day.